You may work in an office, a store, a factory, or other job that monitors your online activities. Lots of people do, but how is that information used, and what does it mean for you?
From workplace-sanctioned social networks to tracking keystrokes, our next guest examined how electronic data are collected and its impact on employees in her Harper's cover story, The Spy Who Fired Me.
Esther Kaplan is also the editor of the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. Esther, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, first off, what are the common methods of data collection in the workplace?
Well, there've always been efforts to track workforces and their efficiency. Back in the old days, someone stood by a production line with a stopwatch and, you know, tried to time how long each step along the way took and create process improvements. But what we're seeing in the last 10 years or so is on a whole new level. Electronic monitoring began to pick up speed in the 90s in call centers where computers tracked the number of time that somebody was on a call doing, you know, customer service or whatever it was, and whether they'd reached their quota. In the last 8 to 10 years, with the steep drop in the price of computer processors and storage and radio frequency devices and GPS devices, we now have massive workforce monitoring systems that are scooping in real-time cash register data, say at a retailer, with historical data, with data about each individual employee's scan rate, say at the cash register, and pulling up metrics on each individual worker, on the staffing needs of the operation at any given moment in very small time increments, and the most minute kinds of inefficiencies are being squeezed out of the system. With GPS, the Internet of Things, we have data being scooped up from packages, from vehicles, and all swept into systems that are tracking, say, a driver out in the field or someone moving a package around an Amazon warehouse. So it's just an incredible amount of data that's being collected right now by very large computer systems.
And the companies that provide this kind of service with their software, they say that, you know, for the last 50 years, there hasn't been a revolution in how we've monitored employees in the workplace, and that this represents that new change. What kind of companies are out there doing this, and where has their technology been adopted so far?
Right. Well, as I said, call centers were kind of at the vanguard, especially as call center work was being offshored. There was a desire to monitor what was going on out there. It moved into warehouses. It's been heavily adopted in retail and manufacturing and healthcare. And now we're beginning to see it heavily in transportation and trucking, and also in sectors where you might not expect it as much, knowledge sector jobs, financial services, high tech, business services, even doctors, nurses, college professors.
I want to zoom in on one aspect of this that you studied. You looked at, you got curious about why your packages were getting delivered to the wrong place or not being delivered at all. And that's sort of what originally got you going on this, when this was to look at UPS. What have you seen there when you talked to some UPS employees?
Right. So UPS was on the vanguard of one kind of system called telematics. And telematics is pulling in information from vehicles out in the field, everything from information from the vehicle's own computer about the status of the brake pads, each UPS vehicle now has 200 different sensors that can check whether the vehicle is idling, whether it's in reverse, whether the seatbelt is buckled, whether that back bulkhead door is open or shut, and, of course, the location. And then there's this Dyad, the handheld device that UPS drivers carry, and that, too, is sending in more information. So what's happened is as UPS instituted this system over the last 8, years or so, they were able to squeeze out all of these inefficiencies, reduce idling time. There were some fantastic benefits of this, such as reducing the amount of gasoline that was purchased and burned by UPS and increasing efficiency in terms of vehicle repair. But it also really put a lot of pressure on the workforce. You see them over the course of implementation increasing domestic package delivery by 1.5 million packages with 22,000 fewer domestic employees. And when I talk to UPS drivers and labor organizers, I mean, it's just an epidemic of injuries because the stop count for each driver has just gone up and up and up. And the result with, you know, a lot of these systems, once you set a really specific metric that everyone has to meet, people will find the workarounds in order to meet that metric. So drivers buckling their seatbelts behind them because they know that buckle rate is going to be detected, but sitting, you know, on top of it so they can just miss that few seconds of time it takes to unbuckle and rebuckle when they get in and out of their truck, but of course a huge safety disaster. And at the same time, why, when you get near the doorway of a delivery stop, why ring the bell and wait the 3 minutes for someone to come down their staircase and sign for the package when you can just slap that delivery attempt notice at the door?
And another aspect of this is the psychological impact on the employees themselves. What did you find both in UPS and in other fields that you looked at?
Yeah, well, I mean, among drivers who've experienced this telematics implementation, which is just taking off. It's expected to be a $30 billion industry within the next few years, but it's maybe a 20% adoption rate right now. But surveys show that the driver resistance is massive, that 80% of firms who've tried to implement this face intense driver resistance. The academics that I've talked to who've been studying electronic monitoring for some years show that when you're monitored, you experience greater stress, you experience greater repetitive strain injuries, neck injuries, spine injuries, that there's all kinds of these negative effects on the body and also in terms of collegiality, that a relationship between a supervisor and a workforce that might have been positive gets eroded once that workforce realizes that they're being electronically monitored in that way. So there are studies that show very real productivity gains of the type I mentioned with UPS. You're really getting a lot more work out of fewer employees, but there's all of these, I think, unanticipated knock-on effects as well.
We're talking right now with Esther Kaplan about the human cost of workplace monitoring. She writes about that subject in this month's cover story of Harper's Magazine.
And we want to know what you think and how things work where you work. Are you concerned? Are you affected by this kind of workplace data tracking? What has the impact been for you? If you're on the other side of things, the management side of things, what have the benefits been for your company? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Esther Kaplan about digital data collection in the workplace and how it impacts your life on the job.
Does your workplace track your data in some way? Your keystrokes on the computer, the time spent on a call, the route you take to the next delivery? How does it do it? How does it affect your job, your attitude toward your job? Or if you're on the supervisory side of things, how does this help your company? How does it make you more efficient? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Esther, I want to talk a little bit about the impact on people who work remotely. Maybe they work from home or, you know, from a coffee shop, and about a third of the workforce apparently does this. How is this impacting those people?
Well, just before I get to that, I did want to say, because you were asking listeners whether they're being monitored on the job, that, you know, there are no federal laws requiring companies to disclose that they're monitoring you, and only two states have laws that regulate this in any way, and Wisconsin is not one of them. So many of your listeners may be being monitored even though they don't know. But the remote worker, the teleworker, the telecommuter is kind of one of the vanguards of this. More and more workers are working remotely, often taking a company computer home. Your firm can then monitor everything you're doing. I mean, they can actually look at your desktop as you're working and see exactly what you're doing. They can certainly check what websites you're visiting, who you're emailing, who you're instant messaging. They could tally your keystrokes, your mouse clicks. It's all available to them if you're on the company computer. What I found striking is that in the realm of freelance and contract work, there are now these quite large freelance marketplaces online, Elance, Odesk, where people find work through these platforms. And in those cases, they ask you to log into an interface so that the client who hires you for transcription work or coding work or graphic design work or whatever it is can track your work even on your personal computer in your home. So I actually tried it out. I hired out for some transcription work through Odesk, and it was kind of incredible. I actually, every 10 minutes, I got a screenshot of this woman I'd never met living in Texas. I got a screenshot of her computer, and for minute by minute, I got a tally of her keystrokes and her mouse clicks. And I could just watch this transcription unfold on this other person's personal computer as I clicked through these monitoring windows. So it was quite an eerie experience.
And going back to what you were saying about regulations, about whether people would actually know if they were being monitored by their employers or not, how would people find out? If they wanted to know, could they simply go to their employer and say, hey, are you using any of this metric tracking, or would it come out in an evaluation, say?
Well, this kind of monitoring is increasingly being used in evaluations, absolutely. One of the in the knowledge worker field, people like you and I, it's now considered very important that knowledge and knowledge sharing are considered assets. So a company might track how often I communicate with people in other departments, how often I share documents or share PowerPoints. You know, all of that is trackable and feeding into promotions, raises, assessments, absolutely. Can you know? It's totally at the discretion of your employer. I think best practice is absolutely considered that an employer should notify the employees of all monitoring that's going on. Labor law attorneys would advise a company to do that, but there is no requirement whatsoever for them to tell you if they're monitoring or how they're monitoring or what they're monitoring, unless you happen to live in Connecticut or Delaware.
And about what percentage of businesses, companies, anybody uses this?
Well, you know, I think it's become so ubiquitous that it's not even being tracked anymore. The American Management Association used to do a very large survey of corporate environments every few years to see how many companies were tracking what. Their most recent survey was from 2008, and which is, you know, ancient in technology years, right? And in 2008, two-thirds of employers were monitoring their employees' internet use, and almost half were tracking keystrokes and monitoring employee email. One can only imagine what those numbers look like today.
Let's get in a caller quickly here. Matt is joining us in Menominee Falls. Matt, hi.
Hi. The reason I was calling is, you know, we're talking about all this technology, and I'm kind of wondering if there's employees that, I guess, would have that same ability, you know, if they have cell phones that do video recording or audio or picture taking. Is there kind of a employee situation that...
Okay, interesting question, Matt. So can you turn the tables, Esther?
That's a really good question. I think at that point the laws regulating you would just relate to what a private citizen can do. And there are regulations state by state about whether you need two-party consent or one-party consent to record audio. That kind of thing depends state by state. I it's interesting, in all the reporting I did, I never quite heard about employees trying to monitor back, but it doesn't seem impossible that that's going on.
And Esther, just briefly, as we wrap up here, what do you see as the future of this kind of moneyball approach to employment?
Well, it's definitely the trend. I think there's a feeling, you take a field like telematics, the vehicle, Internet of Things part of it, and there's just a sense that, you have to keep up with the Joneses. And if other firms are doing this, partly because of consumer demands are driving part of that. Consumers want to know exactly how many blocks away their delivery truck is and exactly when that delivery is going to come. And those expectations get pushed right onto the employees in terms of the level of monitoring. I don't see anything reversing the rapid adoption of this right now.
Esther, we leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it was great to be with you.
We've been speaking with Esther Kaplan, editor of the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute, and she's the author of the Curt Harper's cover story, The Spy Who Fired Me.